Before Christ returned to heaven, he promised all believers, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Is this power of God's Spirit evidenced in your life? Are you accomplishing great and mighty things through the power of the Holy Spirit? Let him work through you without any hindrances whatsoever. In his high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, not only did Christ pray for the preservation of his own amidst their trials and testings, but also that they might be stalwart and courageous in a world of ungodliness. In verse 17, Christ prayed, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Now, to sanctify means to set apart for a specific purpose, to become more like God, while evidencing fewer of the characteristics of this world, that we might exalt Christ and make his name known. Without holiness of life, this is impossible. Now, we notice that the process of sanctification is effected through the truth. Thus, how essential it is to spend time reading and studying the Word of God. We should come to the Word with an open mind and open heart. You see, the Bible is more than a book of information. Those who study it with the head only can never know its effectiveness. The heart must be open to the pleadings and leadings of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 18, "As thou hast sent me into the world," Jesus prayed, "even so have I also sent them into the world." Now, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then he prays, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." To provide salvation for the lost, our Lord had to go to the cross and lay down his life. He was sanctified, or set apart for this purpose. Because of his sacrifice, sanctification is made possible for all believers. This fact is made clear in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, where Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The believer's sanctification is based upon Christ's sanctification. His, of course, never refers to becoming more holy, for he was perfectly holy. Christ's sanctification always means set apart for the work of redemption. Because he was set apart for this work, not only was provision made for our salvation, but for our holiness of life as well, our sanctification. How we need to search our hearts before him to be sure that every trace of disobedience and ungodliness is expelled, that the holiness of the Lord might be revealed through us. Now in verses 20 and 21, Christ prayed, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Oneness seemed to be the burden on the heart of our Lord on the eve of his crucifixion. Soon, by means of the cross, he would bring men and women of every race and culture into a oneness unknown apart from him. As unbelievers see Christians bound together in love, they will be convinced that the founder of Christianity was sent from God the Father. There is no stronger argument for the reality of the Christian faith. It was said of the early Christians, how they love one another. I wonder what the world says of present-day Christianity. Have you received the Son of God into your heart and life? If so, then you are obligated to love your neighbor, regardless of what he has done to you. God exhorts you to owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Love is a must in the Christian life. You cannot know the blessing of God without it. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the closer you should get to your neighbors. If you are spiritually cold, with little interest in the things of God, you will express the same attitude to those around you. Don't be a stumbling block. Let Christ manifest his great love for others through you. Now verses 22 and 23. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Those who believe on Christ are the recipients of his glory. Some interpret glory to mean the Holy Spirit, that as Christ was empowered by the Spirit, so are his followers. It would seem, however, that the glory of the Lord as used here has to do with the power of God. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the source of our power. God's glory through the Holy Spirit seems to be the power to overcome sin as well as to face reverses and trials. Paul said in Romans 5, verse 3, we glory in tribulations. God gives us the power and endurance to overcome the afflictions of life. Then Jesus said, I in them and thou in me. Think of it. The Son of God indwells us in the person of the Holy Spirit if we have trusted in Christ. Thus, what have we to fear? We have within us the greatest power in all the world. No wonder Paul wrote, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thus, why do we complain? Why do we become disturbed? God is in us. It was this great truth that Paul stressed when he wrote to the Galatians, Christ liveth in me. This is how he could bear the severe afflictions and persecutions that confronted him. Now look at the last three verses of chapter 17 of John, verses 24 through 26. There's some wonderful truths here. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me, where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. These are the final petitions in our Lord's Prayer. Here we get some insight into Christ's desire for you and for me. It is his concern that his people be loving and kind, while at all times recognizing his enabling presence. It is so easy to forget his presence. When the trials come, we get our eyes on the trials and overlook the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's trust him for all things. And if you've never trusted him for your own salvation, dear friend, do it right now while we pray together. Ask Jesus to come into your life and live through you, and he will do just that. Oh, Father God, we pray that the Holy Spirit may take full possession of each of us who believe on Jesus Christ. And for those who need him, God, open their hearts and minds to the truth, that they may see that they need him and call upon him by faith, knowing that he will enter their lives. I pray this in his blessed name. Amen.